All right, Ember.
Yes, sir.
Ember, where'd you grow up? Where are you from originally?
Originally from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania.
And tell me about your family growing up. You had mom and dad?
Yes, a mother, father. Mother was a drug dealer and a drug addict. It was a drug baby. My father was an alcoholic and he was abusive. I would go back and forth with my grandparents and my mother and father. So I grew up watching a lot of abuse and things like that. And I guess when I was about 9, my mother got sick from using all the drugs. So she cleaned her act up for a little bit. And then as soon as she got better, she taught me how to weigh up cocaine and sell cocaine. In the suburbs, it's a little different than out here. Out here, everyone is working so hard for change. But in the suburbs, people have a lot more money to spend. So I will go, probably, I guess, 14, you know, answering the door. People come to the door to buy cocaine and stuff. And I got curious and I started using. So then it just led from there. I got into a car accident and I shattered my leg and I started with the Percocets. And one day the doctor's just like, you know, you're done. You don't need Percs anymore. And I realized I really enjoyed them. So I started buying the pills and they get very expensive. So then it led to the heroin.
And today your drug is fentanyl?
To be quite honest, none of us know what's in it. It's breaking our arms out. We're losing our arms, our hands. To my knowledge, I believe it is fentanyl as well as Trank.
Yeah, so Trank is a new drug on the scene?
Yes. And you can tell, I believe it'll usually, now this is what I've been told, it'll come out like a purple when it hits the water. So.
And tell me about your arm.
Well, it originally started in my hands. I almost lost my hands through here. And then went to the eye, so I started using my arm. And these two fingers don't move anymore because once it healed, for some reason it doesn't. So the doctor has to do a skin graft, and they're going to have to break my fingers and put pins in them. And I was never homeless, so I guess from steady using drugs absolutely every day from 16 till I'm 39 now. In between, I did go to jail. Done about 6 years jail, 39 programs.
What were you in jail for?
Assaults, theft, retail, kidnapping, grand theft auto. I had a home invasion. I didn't know they were home. That was my first charge. I thought I was just going to go in and get the stuff. And they happened to be home. So I ended up being a home invasion. But I had been 18 for 3 days. So I got lucky and just got in house arrest. And then a lot of violations. Like if you're an addict and you're in the system, it's an ongoing cycle. If they, you know, you're going to go back and get high.
Do you have kids?
No, sir.
No kids.
Been gay my whole life.
Oh, you're gay?
Yes, okay. Sir.
Do you have a partner right now?
Yes, sir. I've been married for 7 years.
Oh, you've been married for 7 years?
Mm-hmm. Married. She has my last name.
Yeah. So your wife is living on the street with you?
Yes. As of yesterday, her family comes from money. I was never good enough. And they called the person that we were staying with, who didn't know we were using, for like 4 years, and we had a great rapport with this person. So now we have nowhere to go back to. So we have about 5 bags of stuff. We had to actually sleep in an abandoned. I've never done that in all this. I mean, I've sold drugs, I've done all kinds of things, but when I came to Philly, I had to become, usually with thieves. An ongoing thing down here is going into stores and stealing, and you know, the little bodegas and things like that, buy it. You can go into bars, sell things.
It's a rough life here, isn't it?
Thank God I'm gay, because a lot of the women out here, there's about one thing they can do. And I tried, I can't.
Yeah. Was there anything in your childhood that happened that maybe set you on this
path? No, it was a little later in life. When I had come home, a friend from 20 years, I got roofied. And his father was head of the DA. I went to the hospital, I had a rape kit, everything was in. It was lost in court. So, then I got raped again. You know, getting high with people. And these are people that I had known. They weren't family, but I had known them for, honest to God, 20 years. We were little kids going to school together, you know. Wasn't a dumb child, you know. I went to a special school when I stayed with my grandparents. I got to go because of intelligence, an enrichment program. But it's really a school that you generally, they pay for it. You know, people with money. And I was actually pretty good at school. I graduated 6 months early. I went to college twice. And that's another problem. Like, when you go to college, it doesn't matter. Like, once you're in trouble with the law, it's over. You know, everything that you worked hard for, out the window. And my mother passed away from cancer. And I remember telling God, I'll do anything, those foxhole prayers. And I got clean while she was slowly deteriorating in the hospital. And I never turned back when she passed away. So, and even though my mother wasn't, I had a shitty upbringing with my mother. It's weird how we love our mothers.
Did you have dreams of doing something else with your life?
Absolutely.
What did you want to do?
I wanted to join the military, actually, when I was very young. The military, thank you, sir. I played basketball when I was in high school. I was actually quite good. And I thought that was going to get me through college. And I got into the car accident when I was 16. And I can barely run now. So that was kind of out the window.
Is this your lowest point right now?
Yeah, 100%.
You're afraid of losing your arm probably, right?
That wouldn't be my biggest fear, to be quite honest. Of course, that is one of my concerns. But my biggest fear is I don't want to die like this. I don't want to be known for this. I'm going to do more than this. I know in my heart's good. I know that. I don't care what people say, because we do a lot of shit out here that normal people wouldn't do, and you wouldn't do to another human being. But it's what it is. It's terrifying to go into a withdrawal. And I smoke crack. I do the fentanyl. Downers are my number one, you know, the fentanyl and things. I also smoke crack, and I have a bad benzo habit. And when I don't get my benzos, I have seizures. So, we had a bed yesterday at Penn Foundation. And, like, they had told my wife, take a Xanax. You know, at least you'll get something immediately as opposed to waiting for the 24 hours. She doesn't take that, and she's already had so much dope in her. So her lips are blue. And they put her in what they call the tank, which is like a drunk tank, I guess the police would call it. And she started turning blue. And they put her in there and closed the door and pushed me out. And I said, is someone in there with her? That same woman came out to get my information. I said, who's checking on her? Now, you know, I've heard of stories of a young boy just died not too long ago from them not watching him and him swallowing the pill so he didn't get arrested. And then that good friend of mine died here down here in Philadelphia when we were kids. He swallowed the drugs and said, we said, we got to get him to the hospital. He swallowed everything we had and he died at 22. So, because they wouldn't take him. So.
Do you still speak with your family?
Pardon me?
Do you still speak with your family?
I was actually speaking to my father when I encountered you. And my dad is, I've had a 302 him when my mother passed away. It was just, he was done. You know, he's nuts. You know? And I hate to say that, but the love of his life is dead. And he would spend 14 hours at the cemetery. Like, everyone's like, where's Larry? Where's Larry? And he would just be sitting there talking to her. You know, so I had to, he tried to kill himself and I had to put him away. And he wants me to come live with him, which is, it's not that I wouldn't want to if my father was sick or ill, but he's on a lot of medications and he has no problem giving them to me. So I might as well just stay here. What's the difference? All I do it, you know? So.
What kind of emotions do you go through living this life?
Last night really fucked me up. I've been doing this 20-something years. I've never slept in an abando, and I'm not trying to down anybody. I never thought I was better than anybody. You know, I usually have car, job, things like this. And it was just like shit just piles up, like snowballing, like all these years. I've had a hustle, and I've had nice clothes, and I've been able to pull it off. And it's like obviously the end of the road. And to be quiet, I keep it 100%. I don't even like doing the shit like I used to. Like, I'm over it. But at this point, my body won't let me stop. And there's so many of us out there waiting to go somewhere, and there's just not enough places for us to go. You know? And I think that Philadelphia could easily shut this down and help all of us if they wanted to. When we had COVID and people were looting, the Marines were here and we were shut down. You can't pick everybody up and put them somewhere. I don't believe that. And then if they don't want to go, send them, you know, hey, you just can't do it here. So I think there's a lot of corruption and things of that nature. I believe they could stop it if they wanted to. Absolutely. And gentrification. They're pushing these folks out and everything like that. They're just going to end up in another area.
What was your favorite memory as a child?
Playing basketball. Being good at something. Playing chess. My grandma raised me till I was 9. And everything good, my manners, everything I can remember about being good, and like her checking my homework, and, came from her, you know? And then the abuse my father, like, used to, I would be trying to protect my mom, he would choke me out. And I actually stabbed my father, which is not in my nature. So I've had to do a lot of things that you just don't want to do. But I was honest, if we're keeping it honest, my mother gave me my first drugs. You know, even though I had stole the cocaine in the beginning, I had a problem with fighting at school. I got bullied a lot. And she would be like, calm down, take some Ativans, take some Xanax, you need to relax. And she co-signed a lot of my bullshit, you know, because in ways it benefited her, you know. On the run, which is another thing, my wife's family, they came to get us the other day. And Of course, I wasn't allowed to come, that we will not separate. We know that being married, we can't be together, but we want to be in the same facility. They just want me out of their life.
How does that make you feel?
I don't blame them. Everyone wants something good for their daughter and their kids, but...
She's addicted as well?
She was addicted before I met her. I don't know how you can blame me. And when I first met her, 12 years ago, we were in a facility and I had been released from prison. And we got caught messing around. I fell in love with her as soon as I saw her. And when I did, we got caught. I had lied and I said that I had been locked up and I had used her and that I, you know, not to get her in trouble. And she had gotten 4 years clean from that. Because I figured she had a child, she had a family who cared. I was going back to jail anyway. Why not take the blame? And I did 11 months, 21 days for that. And she looked for me that whole time I was gone. So I believe she's my soulmate. She's a good girl. And I want a normal life. I want these things that people have. You know, kids and family, and my heart is in it. I just don't know what the fuck to do. I don't know what to do. Yeah, and it's killing me, and everyone is so mad that when you go to these facilities, like, if you would, pardon me, I'm sorry, if you would actually figure out and keep these people comfortable, and then when they get out of there, give them an ID, give them a chance. There's so many more things I believe that could be done. You know, show us some life, show us some happiness. Because when you get kicked out of prison, you don't have an ID. We just get dropped on the street. What are we going to do? You know, show up for a job homeless, stinky, nowhere to stay. Do you, you know, I think that there could be so much more done to help Philadelphia. And it's so easy. You know, maybe we could get a little job beforehand and leave before we're paroled, you know, to start to work, save money. Show us how to pay a bill. Show us how to do things. I believe if I had just a little bit of happiness, if I could find just a little bit, because my wife is my only happiness. And something more, you know? And I don't want to kill myself. People are like, you're killing yourself. And it's not the intention, you know? But...
You've OD'd?
Oh, yeah. I was in a coma for 4 days. And I woke up from the coma and signed myself out immediately. AMA. And they thought that they may have to put me in a facility. They weren't sure that I would wake up, which is actually a miracle. They said there was no brain activity. So I don't know if they were using, you know, their equipment properly or what, but they had my parents set up. This is when my mother was alive. They live right down the street from a geriatric center of some sort, and I was supposed to stay there, and they thought that I was going to be a vegetable state that whole time. I woke up, I was fine. So I believe in a higher power. You know, I believe things happen because my higher power lets them happen. You know, you can know everything and it just doesn't work out. So I believe there's got to be something stronger than us. Something bigger.
What do you think most people don't understand about drug addiction?
I think people think we want this. And I mean, who would want this? This is insane. Now, some people don't care. I know a lot of people that don't. I know a lot of girls, they do dates and things like that, and they don't care. I've never liked it. I feel like probably for the past 3 months, I can't stop crying. It just hurts so bad. I wasn't put here for this. I promise you. And having nobody but my wife. Like, we have nobody and everybody. And these people out here, I feel so bad for them. Because this is their home. I don't shoot up in front of kids. I don't like that. I don't go for that. I know they don't have anywhere to go, but it's just like, I think people misinterpret. They think that we like what we're doing and we don't care if their children walk by and happen to see us. Or, you know, I think people think that I'm a piece of shit by choice.
How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel like you deserve this lifestyle?
Oh, I'm no angel. I think I'm half and half. I think we all are. But, I know I'm too good for this. I believe that. I believe, I know I can do better.
Sometimes we create what we believe we deserve.
That's excellent. I could create a better life. I know I could. And I really do hope today that these people keep their word and get us into bed. There's a lot of us waiting. And then you have the rotating door. I mean, some people are like, "It's I don't want to sleep outside. I'm just going to go here and do this." And they're taking a bed from somebody that could be dying out there that really wants it. So.
Amber, what's your biggest regret in your life?
Where do I start? Probably my biggest regret is not just leaving my wife out of it. I love her more than I love myself. And I just want to protect her. I've never had anyone in my life be so good to me. You know? And I want to make a life for her. I want to give her that life she deserves. I'm almost 40. The clock's ticking. So probably my biggest regret is just not taking better care of her.
And she's very protective of you. When I picked you up, she was very concerned who you were leaving with.
We're very close. And that's why we call each other soulmates, because I've been locked up a lot. So I've had a lot of, we'll call, you know, flings, you're lonely, whatever. You know, been in a lot of relationships, and there's absolutely no comparison. I mean, we are best friends. We are riders. We will never abandon each other. Never. And I've never had anyone treat me like that, not even my own family. So.
What would you say is the most important lesson you've learned in your life?
Probably the most important lesson. I am in control, and I need to get myself off my ass. If I'm given an opportunity, I need to take it and make the best of it, you know, because the clock's not going backwards, and I just wish I would have taken these opportunities, you know, before. I've had great opportunities. I've had great jobs. But I've used drugs the whole time. You know, and that's not really taking the best out of an opportunity. That's getting by. So.
What emotion do you deal with most? Is it shame or is it depression?
Shame. But I have terrible anxiety and depression. So this one night has been, I'm ready to do whatever needs to be done to figure this out. you know? And I'm just so scared to be sick. I mean, like, how crazy is that, that you won't just take care of what you have to? Like, it's not normal to be okay and sleeping in a bando that you had to break into. You know, like, that's, it's not normal, you know? And,
Do you and your wife feel like you're living this degenerate lifestyle?
Oh my God, we're so grossed out. I'm sorry to say that.
And you look at your arm and that reinforces it all.
Oh my gosh. This isn't even like my big, this is even my biggest worry. My biggest worry is like, once I get clean and I get there, these things will come with it, of course. It's not healing because we're doing the same thing. Do you know? I have no veins anywhere. So I'm going in there.
Your arm got infected because of an abscess?
Right. Nobody really, no, it's not an abscess. Nobody really knows. There was this, I don't care if I say it a lot, over on F Street. There was some Uber, was this stuff, and it was like the best stuff around. I ever started using it. But when you used it, it would look weird, and you'd be like, maybe I missed. But it will continued, like, getting worse. The people at the medical thing say one thing. People in the street say another thing. But you can tell when you smell your dope. Sometimes it'll smell like gasoline or flower, like, enhancement, you know, flower growth. If it smells like that, something about that is doing it. That's one of the theories. Another theory is tranquilizer shouldn't be injected IV and it pushes itself out. So I don't know what did it, but I used my last bandage yesterday.
When you look at your arm,
yeah.
What do you see?
Oh my God, it's disgusting. It really grosses me out. Well, actually, I just took the bandage off literally before I saw you, and I was like, "Fuck, what am I gonna do?" Because, like, I am a thief, not by choice, but I was stealing bandages to make sure I had bandages every day. You know what I mean? But they are $27. I go through two boxes in one box, 2 days. So it's like on top of a habit, on top of we were paying rent, on top of, and my wife lost her job last week, you know, and we had a car before that. So the boosting was really easy. We just put it in the cart and just walk right out. And now you're on foot. You're like, so you act tough when you walk out. They're walking right behind you. You ain't going nowhere.
Do you find over time you start lowering your standards of what you will and won't do?
Absolutely. I didn't steal when I was little. You know, I feel like sometimes some people steal to steal. So to survive, you know, I need to come right up. So do I have guilt? Absolutely not. I know that sounds terrible. People don't know how to take me, but would you rather I lie or, you know, someone said, like, you lose both ways. People say they can handle the truth, but can they? You know, because if I say that, they're like, oh my God, scumbag. Well, it's the truth. Would you like me to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, da, 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 da. You know, I don't know who you want me to be. Almost got robbed the other day. Attacked by four girls. Didn't work out for them. They got scared. I got the best of one of them. And the other three were like, I'm good, I'm good. But it was my last money and I had to fight for it. But it could have been very bad. So.
Things are rough, aren't they?
Is rough a sufficient word? Yeah, it fucking sucks. And some people don't give a shit. Like, I remember, like, I've always had a car, like I said, a car, a job, and things like that. And now I'm sitting with these people that I was like, man, if it ever gets like that, you know, here we are. And I can't, like, I can't do it. I'm not built to be homeless. And I had a discussion with some guy. He's like, yeah, you are. You're strong. I'm like, no, sir. I'm not built for that. Like, you can't even use the restroom around here. You know? It's insane. And that's Needle Park where you're at. It's McPherson, I believe is what it's really called. It's Needle Park. Later and later in the day, it fills up, fills up, fills up. The police are there. They just sit there.
The police are parked there, but
they let us shoot.
There's people shooting right next to the police car.
Absolutely. There was a girl dying right next to me. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. And the cops just stand there and they say, wait for the EMTs. Addicts save addicts. Or they steal everything you have. I lost so much shit last night. Because even though I'm a drug addict, I'm still naive to this street stuff. You know, I come down here, I walk around, and then I go home and get high. I'm a homebody. You know, no offense to nobody I want to meet, nobody I want to hang out with, risk, you know, being stolen from and stuff. And it's just.
You ever stand back and look at your current lifestyle and say, how the hell did I get here?
I know how I got here. I do know. I slowly started seeing things getting worse. But I've always pulled myself out of the mud and come back for, like, you know, come up with a hustle and it ended up getting better. And how do I say this? Like, I this needed to happen because my wife and I had about $250 a day. She's a waitress. And then we would go stealing. Easy. There's pawn shops. If you have a car, you could conceivably make $800 a day. And you're an addict. What would make you think of stopping? Not to be a jerk. But I mean, if that's programmed in your head, you're like, this is fucking easy. I can still get up and go to work. I can still have my nice clothes. I can still, I don't know if that makes sense to you. A lot of people don't understand. I don't understand, if it's heredity, ethnic susceptibility, or I've no reason why I'm built the way that I am. I don't know why I love it so much. I don't know if maybe my head's messed up, you know, but I'm not loving it as much as I used to at all. But it's not heroin anymore. I started on heroin and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And now I don't even know what I'm getting high off of. I do it and I fall asleep. Like, is that a good time? Before I know it, 12 hours go by, I wake up, I'm sick again. And that's if I mix it, you know? And we're getting sick every 4 hours. Imagine what you have to do to get the money. Even the common person, you know? It's a lot to come up on. Continue, and it's continuous.
All right, Amber, thank you so much for sharing your story.
I am so psyched to meet you. I think you're a great guy.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you very much. I hope you figure out housing and get away from this lifestyle.
There's a diversion program.
Even though Soft White Underbelly consists of a lot of videos, it's really still a photography project to me. And if you appreciate the photography, sometimes it's difficult to enjoy it when it's scrolling down the screen, which is the only option I had in this horizontal format on YouTube. So last year we came out with the first Soft White Underbelly book, which is a collection of the best portraits from the thousands of interviews I've done. Each portrait in this book is accompanied by an interesting quote from the person's interview.
Oh my God.
There's more.
Wow. These aren't as bad as I thought. I look like a witch.
All I will not be reprinting this book when it sells out. So once it's gone for good. You can order yours at softwhiteunderbelly.org. $125, $150 for a signed copy. And thank you for watching.